ABC Radio Australia.
Years ago, it was not unusual to spot a dugong playing in the waters off the coast of Efate Island in Vanuatu. But these days, they're rarely seen and are considered endangered by the International Union for Conservation of Nature. Now, conservationists are calling for a study into the animal to find out exactly how many still roam the waters of Vanuatu. Christina Shaw is the CEO of the Vanuatu Environmental Science Society, and she's heading the push, and she joins us on the line this morning. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Christina, do we know why dugong numbers are dropping and why they're not so prevalent as they used to be around Vanuatu?
Well, we don't actually know if they're dropping or not, and that's the big problem. So we know that they're dropping in other places around. Some places are stable, such as in Australia, but in other places, such as New Caledonia or the east coast of Africa, their numbers are dropping. So there's quite a number of threats to dugongs. One of the biggest ones is getting caught in gill net fishing nets. Boat strike is another problem. And then also the degradation of seagrass meadows, because dugongs are obligate herbivores. They have to eat seagrass. That's their diet. So if the habitat of the seagrass beds are being destroyed, then we won't have dugongs.
Now, Christina, this national assessment you're calling for, what's the big challenge in getting that to happen? What are you expecting to get out of this assessment when it happens?
Okay, so dugongs are not the easiest animals to research because obviously they're in the water. They're not that many individuals and they can move quite big distances. So the gold standard for making assessments of dugongs is aerial surveys, but obviously aerial surveys are expensive. So we have been looking at different ways of doing sort of drone surveys, but ultimately, because the Vanuatu coast is so large and the dugongs are in small pockets, because that's where the seagrass habitat is, then a fixed-wing aerial survey from a plane would be the ideal thing to do a baseline assessment of the dugongs. And then hopefully after that, we would be able to monitor them with maybe cheaper alternatives once we know what the population is.
In terms of getting support for this assessment, has there been much appetite within the government or within other agencies towards funding this operation? Because it sounds expensive.
It is expensive. And we've been working on our previous dugong projects with dugong experts from Australia. So the guys from Murdoch University and also James Cook University have been assisting us with our dugong projects. So I guess that all funding for biodiversity conservation is a little bit tricky to get. There's lots of competition around the world and for the funds, and Vanuatu, things are expensive in Vanuatu and across the Pacific, so it's always hard to compete with other countries for biodiversity funding. The government doesn't normally fund biodiversity funding out of its own normally we'd be asking for donor funding for that. There is obviously a fisheries department and the Department of Environmental Protection and Conservation, but again, they're usually not very, they've got a lot of work to do and not much funding for it. So we would be looking to outside donors to fund something like an aerial survey for our charismatic animals like dugongs. Turtles and whales as well is some other species, that iconic species that we really don't have a handle on how many animals are here and whether their numbers are going up or going down.
Now, Christina, earlier in the interview you were talking about seagrass. How important is seagrass to the survival and what's the situation like in terms of seagrass in Vanuatu? Has that been changing in regards to climate change or other factors?
So, again, we don't really know what's happening in Vanuatu. There's never been a national assessment of seagrasses. Seagrass is really important to dugongs. As I said before, that's their food. So if there's no seagrass, there's no dugongs, basically. We know that seagrasses around the world are under threat from coastal development, changes in the water quality, which is caused by, you know, coastal development, storms and cyclones, which we know are increasing here with climate change. They can also affect it. So they're really susceptible to water quality. So if there's more runoff from the land, for example, if the vegetation has been cut down for agriculture or subsistence farming and more sediment gets into the water, then it makes the water cloudy. And because seagrasses are plants, they rely on the sun to photosynthesize and get their energy. And if the water's cloudier, the sun doesn't get through, so they don't have as much energy and they can't grow as well. So we know that this is happening to seagrasses all around the world. Also, things like boats mooring and anchoring in the seagrass beds can have an effect. And cyclones can kind of take out the whole seagrass beds sometimes in the shallower areas. We've got very shallow sediment here. We go straight onto coral rocks a lot of the place in a very narrow coastal fringe. So they are susceptible to storms and coastal development. But yes, we would like also, we have been doing some monitoring of our seagrass meadows, but it's only a short time frame so far. They appear to be stable in the areas that we are monitoring, but it would be nice to have a national assessment and some better understanding within the local population of how important these seagrass beds are, not only to dugongs. They can also help reduce ocean acidification, which is affecting our coral reefs, and that happens because of increasing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and dissolving into the oceans, and that will affect how well our coral reefs can build their skeletons, and then also that affects what lives on the coral reefs, which a lot of people rely on for gleaning and fishing.
Christina, look, just finally, what's the importance of dugongs in terms of the ocean, and what would happen if they were absent from the ecosystem around Vanuatu?
I think there's a number of different ways where dugongs are important. They're important to people because they're culturally been here all the same time that people have been here. So there are some cultural traditions around dugongs, and they are charismatic creatures, so people enjoy interacting and seeing them. But in terms of the ecosystem, they are called the gardeners of the ocean. So they do when they do eat the seagrass, they tend to stir up the sediment a little bit there so that they can turn the nutrients around, so help the nutrients in cycling. And also because they're large animals, a lot of large herbivores are quite important at moving nutrients around, because if they go and eat seagrass in one area and then they swim to another area and that's where they poop, then the nutrients can get moved around. So they're sort of the gardeners. They sort of plough up and allow the diversity of the different types of seagrass to be greater in the areas where there are dugongs, and also they allow those nutrients to cycle. And again, you know, culturally and important for things like tourism, because it's quite an attraction for people to come and see our friendly dugongs in Vanuatu.
Christina, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge about dugongs this morning, and all the best to your campaign to get the national assessment of dugongs and seagrass underway.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you. That was Christina Shaw. She's the CEO of the Vanuatu Environmental Science Society.